Let's discuss a little bit about reading the Megillah in other languages, such as English and whatever other languages might be relevant. So the Mishnah tells us in the beginning of the second parak of Megillah that one who's kareis the Megillah, l'mafreya, out of order, is not yotze. One who reads the Megillah be'al peh, or he reads it in Targum, reads it in any Lashon, the Mishnah says also, you are not yotze if you read it in any other languages. But the Mishnah says, aval karin osa l'lo'azos bilaz. But you can read it in other languages to those who understand the other languages. So meaning reading a Megillah to anyone here in, I don't know, Spanish, French, I don't know who knows those languages, but assuming no one here knows Spanish or French, so that would not work. But if you wanted to read it in English to any of us here, so then one would be yotze the Megillah for listening to the Megillah in a language that we understand, even though it's not Hebrew. So that's a very clear halacha brought down in the Mishnah. Now, what's not discussed here is which type of ksav do you have to write it in? What type of letters, what type of text could be used? So the Shulchan Aruch writes, and really the Rama writes, that there is no concern of what language, what text is being used. The Rama writes, this is number one, this is Simin Taf Reish Tzadi, Ein Lachush Be'ezek Ksav Ksuva. There is no concern what language is being written at, what ksav is being used. So you could write it, if you're having it read in English, you could use English letters. If you're having it written in read in Chinese, you could have Chinese letters used. All that is not of any concern, says the Rama. Any text you want is going to be fine.
Letters mean we say transliterated.
No, not right now. It means the language in English. You write the letters the, T-H-E, because we said any language works. So whatever language you're using, the Rama says you could use those letters.
So you say Vayhi, and it was. You say and it was.
And it was, right. You write and it was according to the Rama. A-N-D-I-T-W-A-S. Fine. But that's all according to the Rama. What you're saying is the Mishnah Berurah. The Mishnah Berurah quotes many Achronim who argue and say that no, the Megillah has to be in Lashon Kodesh. You have to use Hebrew letters. And this case, so how do you get Hebrew letters to be English? So that's your case transliterated, so you have to use Hebrew letters. So to have, and it was, you have to do an Aleph and a Nun and a Dalet to spell the word end. And Aleph Yud Tes to be it, and it was. So you write it out that way using Hebrew letters, but when you read it, it comes out as English words. That's transliterated. So according to the Mishnah Berurah, that's what he writes in number 5, that there are many poskim who argue and say you have to use the Lashon Kodesh, the letters of Lashon Kodesh, even though it's going to be read in English. Now what doesn't work is I can't have the Pasuk of Vayehi B'mei Achashverosh and then translate it in my head and say, oh, and it was Achashverosh, the days of Achashverosh, because that would be reading Baal Peh. Has to be what I'm reading is actually what's written here, but using Hebrew letters. So that's what the Mishnah Berurah says. So it has to be Hebrew letters, even though it can be in the English language, how it comes out. So now there's a very big machlokus between Rashi, Ramban, who is allowed to be Yotze, who's considered lo azos, who's considered a foreigner that they're allowed to be Yotze with the English language. So Rashi says, and the Merdaik from this, and the Rambam as well, anyone here who understands English is allowed to be Yotze with English. I understand English. Everyone here understands English. You're allowed to be Yotze. And they go so far to say, even if we understand Hebrew also, they're equal options. I understand Hebrew just as well as I understand English, and both of them are able to be equal options, according to Rashi and the Rambam. Right, the Rambam writes in Hilchos Megillah, Perek Beis, he says, who's could be Yotze? This is number 3. Who's allowed to be Yotze? Hayisak Suva Targum. If it's written in Targum, O Belashna Cheres Milashonos Hagoyim, or any other language of the non-Jewish languages, Lo Yotze Yidei Chovasa Bekriya, you're not Yotze the Mitzvah, Ela Hamakir Osa Lashon Bavad. Only if you understand that language. And the Magen Mishnah says, even if I understand Hebrew also, I'm allowed to be Yotze. So right now, everyone here in the room could be Yotze with English. If you have a Megillah that's transliterated using Hebrew letters into the English language, we would all be Yotze according to the Rashi and the Rambam, because we all understand English, even though we also understand Hebrew.
So if you don't understand Hebrew, that just supersedes everything just because you're hearing it in Hebrew?
So if you don't understand Hebrew and you're listening it to Hebrew, so we'll get to the rush at the end.
Because most people don't understand Hebrew
right
nowadays.
Exactly. So we'll get to that point. If you don't understand Hebrew, how the rush says you're still Yotze anyways. We're talking about right now, if you don't understand Hebrew, so then you're allowed to be Yotze with English. Even if you understand Hebrew, says Rashi and Rambam, you still are allowed to be Yotze with English. That's all according to Rashi and the Rambam.
But we're dealing here with a case only where it's the Ksav is Hebrew?
Exactly. Right? Well,
even though it's transliterated.
Right. That's right. In the world of the Mishnah Berurah. Right.
Are we saying there's a case that it can be written in English letters and read in English?
So according to the Ramah says we don't care how it's written. The Ramah would allow you to write in English letters even. So if you open up the Megillah and use the English side, so and read it, it was the days of Achashverosh, according to the Ramah, you would be Yotze.
And you can make a
make a bracha. According to the Ramah, it sounds like you could even make a bracha. You can even make a bracha, but the Mishnah Berurah says, so let's say a guy was stuck. It's very, a guy doesn't know Hebrew letters yet. He can't read Hebrew. So let alone doesn't understand the Hebrew, can't read Hebrew. So then I would say, let's say the guy's stuck. If he could go to shul and hear the Megillah reading, fine. Let's say the guy's stuck, he's on he's traveling business somewhere, and there's no way for him to be Yotze. So then the best thing for him to do is to read the English translation, read the article in English. That'd be the best thing to do. Now, he wouldn't say bracha in that case because he doesn't have a klaf. I would imagine to say bracha, you would need the klaf and ink, which I've never seen. I'm sure it exists somewhere, someone who wrote English on klaf. Obviously there's no real way to write the letters. There's no special way to write an aleph, the T, there's no special way to write it. Just write a T. But if a guy was stuck, so you could certainly rely on the Mishnah Berurah, rather on the Ramah, and read it in English, the entire Megillah. But right now we're talking about a situation where the, according to the Mishnah Berurah again, has to be written in Hebrew letters, though. Transliterate. So now that's all according to Rashi and the Rambam, that even if you do understand English, even if you do understand Hebrew, you could still read it in English. But the Ramban argues. The Ramban says you're not allowed to do that. If you understand Hebrew, then you are not allowed to rely on reading it in English. Reading in English is only a b'di'evid sh'b'di'evid, only a v'sha'as ha'tachak, where the guy has no other choice, so then you're allowed to read in English. But if the guy understands Hebrew, there is no heter to read it at all. So what's the machlokas between Rashi and Ramban? Again, Rashi and Rambam say on one hand that if you understand English, even though you might understand Hebrew also, you're allowed to read it in English. Ramban says if you understand Hebrew, you are not allowed to read. You are not allowed to read in English. What's the machlokas? So I think the machlokas is, according to Rashi and Rambam, the focus here is understanding, the yediyah. That's the whole understanding of Pirsumei Nisa when it comes to the Megillas Esther is understanding the story. So whether I understand it in the Hebrew avenue or the avenue of English, I'm understanding the story. Who cares if I know Hebrew versus English? As long as I understand whatever is being read, I'm accomplishing the Mishnah, the mitzvah of Megillas Esther. So that makes sense according to the Rashi and the Rambam. How come the Ramban? Why the Ramban argue? Why does he say, if I understand Hebrew, I'm not allowed to read in English? Why not? Isn't the whole point to understand the story? So why can I read it if I understand English? So I think the Ramban understands here, in addition to there being a mitzvah of Pirsumei Nisa, I think he indicates this, it's a little... he's got his line, which is a little ambiguous what he means here. But I think according to Ramban, is in addition to there being a mitzvah of yediyah, of understanding the miracle, there's also a mitzvah of the kriya, of the reading of the text, the way we were given it, the way Mordechai and Esther put it together, there's a mitzvah of a kriya. So in a situation where I don't know how to read it, so then at least let me get the mitzvah of understanding the yediyah, and I'll read it in English. But if I understand Hebrew, so then I may as well read in Hebrew because in addition to me getting the mitzvah of understanding the storyline, I also get the mitzvah of the kriya of reading the actual letters. So Ramban seems to say there are two dinim. There's the kriya and then there's the yediyah. But Rashi and Rambam hold the whole point of Megillas Esther is the yediyah, understanding what happened. So if I know it in Hebrew, if I know it in English, as long as I know what happened, I'm yotze the mitzvah. The kriya, there is no mitzvah of the kriya. The kriya is just a way to get to the idea. The goal is understanding the storyline. So however I accomplish that goal, according to Rashi Rambam, I would be yotze. So that's how I think could you understand the machlokas between Rashi and Rambam versus the Ramban.
Is there something between yediyah and understanding is what?
Say it again?
Is it yediyah and understanding are the same thing?
I think so. Why not? How do you say there's a difference?
What's it to start a mikra?
Yeah, everyone agrees that you need yediyah, understanding the storyline. The question is, do you also need a kriya? Is that kriya necessary? So
reading it, in other words, we're reading it with the eyes.
From a ksav, there's inyan of the kriya, whether with the eyes, probably better to read it out loud even. But there's some inyan of reading the ksav as part of the mitzvah. Okay, now there is an interesting discussion that's found in the Beis Yosef based on the Tshuvas HaRivash. And he says something interesting, this is number 6, that the Rivash, one of the Rishonim, holds that nowadays, even though there's a first Mishnah, that you are Yotzei with reading in Lashon, any Bechol Lashon, as long as you understand the language, meaning you would be Yotzei in English, according to everyone here. We all understand English. Nowadays, the Rivash says you can't be Yotzei in other languages. Why? Because he says, we don't know the translation of all the words. So he quotes one of the psukim of Ach Sharanim B'nei Ramachim, no one knows the translation of that word. So he says, if the Chachmei Talmud, if the Chachamim who put together, who wrote the Gemara, they did not understand it, so how are we, later generations, able to understand the psukim properly? And since we're not capable of writing a proper translation of the Megillas Esther, the Rivash writes that we're not Yotzei through other languages. You have to read it in Hebrew only.
Why can't you do
Ach Sharanim B'nei Ramachim?
Why can't you put that in the same English? In other words, write it with Hebrew.
So that's what the Beis Yosef suggests. He goes on to say, so why not? He says, it's a very good suggestion I have. Why not? Whatever we could translate, translate, and whatever you can translate, just use Hebrew. Why can you interchange the two languages together? Sounds like a very fine approach. And this way, if those who don't understand Hebrew could understand the storyline in English, and we get to the words of Ach Sharanim B'nei Ramachim, where no one knows, so we won't know, just like the Hebrew speakers don't know the language, and just interchange English and Hebrew. And that's a very good answer, says the Beis Yosef. Now, the Beis Yosef says, the problem with this suggestion is, because the Ran, one of the Rishonim, had addressed the Rivash. And in that dialogue with the Ran and the Rivash, he doesn't make such a suggestion. Now, the very fact that the Ran doesn't make a suggestion says it must not be a good suggestion. So this is a very important idea that the Achronim have when it comes to the Rishonim. Now, the Rishonim, they always assume the Rishonim understood everything. And Rishonim understood every single option that could possibly be suggested. So if the Ran would have thought of this, he would have said it. There's no such thing that the Rishonim, you know, didn't think of. So they must have thought of this idea, and the fact that he didn't suggest this idea must be it's not a good idea. And that's an assumption we all have, that many of us think that, you know, Rishonim are the same level as us. Not the same level, they were human. They were human. But at the same time, in terms of their learning, they were a completely different level. So therefore, we have a certain level of humility that if it wasn't suggested by the Rishonim, then we can't make the suggestion on our own. And because of that humility of the Beis Yosef, he backs off of the suggestion. Now, even though he likes the Svara, he doesn't know why Misvara, it's not a good suggestion. The very fact that the Rishonim dealt with such a Shaila and didn't make the suggestion of interchanging Hebrew and English, he backs down and says one should not rely on reading in two different languages together.
Well,
yeah.
Then they also would have known that those words couldn't be translated even then.
No, the Gemara versus Mishnayos, meaning what?
I'm saying the words, the reason why they say we shouldn't do it now is because there are certain words that you can't translate.
Correct.
Because you don't know what the translation is. But they would have known that. So why were they allowed to translate it?
As I'm saying, so the Mishnah, the times of the Mishnah is good. They knew how to translate it. The Mishnah says you can read B'chol Lashon, those who understand it. By the time the Amoraim put together the Gemara, they said there are a few words that we don't know. It came 300 years after the Mishnah was complete. Already by the time of the Gemara, they forgot. They lost the tradition. No one read it in other languages, so they didn't know how to properly translate it, so they kind of aborted that approach.
So even in Lashon Kodesh, they don't understand it.
Yeah, they don't know every single language. They can't understand every single language at the times of the Gemara.
In Lashon Kodesh, they didn't know then either.
The times of the Gemara. They didn't know. No, this word here is the Aramaic word. Of Ach Sharanim B'nei Haramachim is the Aramaic word. They don't know the translation of it, which is fine. I'm not saying they knew every single thing in the world, but they knew every single suggestion that can be made, misfar and halacha. There are many things that they know. But in terms of suggestions of how to deal with a certain contradiction, every answer they thought of, every logical answer. But certainly there are things that they didn't know. There's, in fact, in terms of that, there's a Gemara that appears in Masechah Shabbos, I think it is, that one time an Amora asked another Amora, why does it say in Aseret Dibros one way, and then the second appearance of Aseret Dibros it says in a different way? And he says to me, before you ask me why don't you ask me if that's even the case? Meaning, I don't know the Pesukim by heart. I don't know. First show me a Sefer Torah and compare and contrast the two Aseret Dibros, and then you can ask me why. But I don't even know the Aseret Dibros. And Tosas pointed out there, he makes an interesting ha'ara that they didn't know all the Tanakh by heart. And there's a Gemara, another Gemara in Avodah Zarah, that there is once an Amora who is praising that this other Amora was a great, great person. He was telling all the different Apikorsim that so-and-so, I forget the name, is such a great, great gadol. So one time these Apikorsim came across this certain Amora, and they started throwing questions at him, and the Pasuk says this way, and why the Pasuk says differently, there's a steer in these Pesukim, and he didn't know how to answer them. And they started beating him up. So then the Amora who came over to him, I said, didn't I tell you that guy's a tremendous gadol hador? What are you beating him up for? He said, he did. We started asking him questions, and he didn't know the answer. So he said, what were you asking him? We asked him why the Pasuk says this way, and another Pasuk says a different one. He says, he's a God of Ador, but he doesn't know Psukim. A God of Ador doesn't know Psukim. They don't know Psukim. They know, ask him a question in Halacha, he'll tell you the answer. You want to ask Psukim, ask me Psukim. But that guy, you don't ask the guy Psukim. Just because a guy who's very learned doesn't mean he knows Psukim. So they didn't know everything in terms of Yedios, but every single question they had, thought of every possible approach, how to answer it. So again, so since the Beis Yosef saw that the Ran didn't make such a suggestion of reading in two different languages, he backed down from this suggestion. So how do we paskin? In the end of the day, how do we paskin? We have Machlokas, Rashi, Rambam versus the Ramban. If a person understands Hebrew, in addition to understanding English, is he allowed to read the Megillah in English or not? So if you look at number 7, the Shulchan Aruch, Simin, Tuf, Reish, Tzadi, Shulchan Aruch writes that Mi sheyodea laz v'yodea ashuris. One who knows both English and Hebrew, eino yotzei belaz. He is not allowed to be yotzei through laz. He must listen to it in Hebrew. That's shita of the Ramban. But then there's a yeshomrim in the Shulchan Aruch sheyotzei. He quotes the shita of the Rambam and Rashi that you are yotzei, even though you understand Hebrew, you are able to listen to it in English as well. So then the Ramah comes along and says, Vim ksuva b'shnei l'shonos, mishem evinin yatso. He argues on the Beis Yosef and says, one who reads it in two different languages, you mix and match Hebrew and English, you would be able to be yotze. Even though the Beis Yosef himself backed down from that suggestion, the Ramah brings it as a possibility. So that would mean, so let's say a guy is stuck, he's on a business trip and it happens to be Purim, and he has no other option other than an art school, he doesn't know how to read Hebrew. So then in that case, he's allowed to read the English. And even though the English side, it's not going to translate those words. I imagine the English side of the Megillah's Esther, it's going to probably write the word Achsharonim B'nei Ramachim, as, you know, in English letters, but just writing it out. So according to that, the Ramah writes, one is allowed to be Yotzei reading it in two different languages. Now, for the Svardim, who don't have such a suggestion, I'm not sure what the Eitz would be for them, because the Beis Yosef says you can't rely on two different languages. So a Svardi who might not know, who doesn't know Hebrew, and he's stuck in a business trip and there's no one to read the Megillah for him, I'm not sure if the Svardim would say you would be Yotzei reading it in English, since it mixes and matches English and Hebrew. Now that in the Shulchan Aruch says an interesting halacha here. And yeah.
What does that mean? The Ramah says, "Vim ksuv b'shnei l'shonos," and the Misha mivinim yotzu. So you have to understand both languages.
Well, it can't be both because we don't understand those Hebrew words. So I think if you understand the language of English, the main language, so then you're yotzei. But the other words, no one understands the other words. So then the Shulchan Aruch writes something very interesting. Let's say, what's halacha about reading to, this is Sif Yud Aleph, this is still number 7 here, V'yesh Limchos, one should really protest, B'yad HaKorin, those who would read L'Nashim, would read to women, HaMegillah B'Lashon Las, Af Apisha K'suva B'Lashon B'Las. So there, apparently there have been some communities that would read the Megillah in English. They said, listen, it's not fair to the women, this wasn't the first time where they were very concerned with the women's feelings, so the women didn't understand the language. So it's not nice, so they're coming to the Purim night, and they're hearing some guy read some foreign language which they didn't understand. Let's make the women feel part of it. So let's read it in English to them. And this way they'll feel comfortable, they understand the storyline, a very nice thing. We have such a concept that we want to be sensitive to the women. And that's always, of course, a slippery slope, how much you're supposed to do. That the Gemara says in Chagiga that even though women are not supposed to do smicha nakarban, the halacha is based on psukim, that only men do smicha nakarban, not women, the Gemara says to give them Nachas Ruach, the Gemara uses that language, we allow them to do smicha. It makes them feel better. It's not a new thing that women want to be part of religion. They want to make them feel part of it. It makes sense. So the halacha is, the Gemara says, you can do smicha even though you're not supposed to. We let them do smicha just to make them feel better. So now that Nachas Ruach line has been a subject of much debate, because that led to, oh, well, maybe women should do women akafos, because that makes them Nachas Ruach. They're sitting behind the mechitza, all of Simchas Torah, and they're so left out. They're sitting there, they're putting their fingers through the mechitza, looking what's going on. They feel left out. So Nachas Ruach, let them have women akafos. And this could go, it's endless, of course. And you need people with, you know, the great understanding of Torah, halach, and community, what's allowed, what's not allowed. So this would be another example. The times of the Shulchan Aruch, they had, I guess, they would read in English or whatever language that they understood to make the women feel part of it because they didn't understand Hebrew. So Shulchan Aruch says it's a very nice thing. It's very nice to give the women Nachas Ruach, but there is a halachic problem with this. It is a halachic problem not to do this. What's the reason why shouldn't a person read English to the women? So there are two different approaches brought down in the posting why not to do this. So the Taz says, the reason is, because look at number 8, read the Yesh Limchos, the last line. He says, She'ein laniach haderech shadarchu bo avoseinu hakadoshim. Don't leave the path that our great-grandfathers had went on. Leilech b'derech tsar v'dochik b'hechshen. Go on to a very narrow, restraining path. Yes, there's room to allow reading in English. But as we went through the sugya, it's not so pashut. Firstly, we don't know every single word's translation, and all the other discussion we went through. He therefore suggests we want to follow in the path of this idea of Mesorah. Mesorah is a very important halacha. We have tradition. So even though sometimes halacha allows for certain things, that let's say women hakafos may not be so halachically problematic, there are, in terms of women hakafos, now that's the topic that came up to mind. Now, there's one shaila that women hakafos would be that the Rama says a woman who's in nida shouldn't touch a sefer Torah. There's some Indian of a woman who's in nida and touching a sefer Torah without getting involved in that. So let's say all the women go to the mikvah. So you get around that halachic problem. So still, there's a certain tradition that for many generations we never had such a thing of women hakafos. So there's the Mesorah versus halacha. Or women wearing tefillin. Women halachically, there's room to explain that they are allowed to wear tefillin. At the same time, there's a certain Mesorah, a certain tradition that we have. So the Taz's explanation of why they were against reading the Megillah to women in English or any other language is simply because we have a tradition from the Avoseinu HaKadoshim and we don't want to change that tradition. Mesorah is extremely important, but halachically speaking, there is no problem according to the Taz.
According to the Ramah, it's fine. Like, it's fine for men to read in English. So, why is it coming out so strong? It's not like everyone's saying that you can't read it in English, baklal. Like, the Ramah clearly says you can read it in English.
Right.
And for men.
Right.
So, like, why are we being so, you know, the lesson of, like, who's the Ramah? The Ramah is, you know, a big person to rely on, and that's for men.
Yes, so. It's a very good question. I think it's a great question. So I think what you have to say, according to the Taz, is even though halachically, even the men are allowed to read it in English, still, it must have been the practice was not to do that. And since the practice was that the men don't read it in English, so the women should have that same tradition of not reading in English. You're right, halachically it's okay, for the men even, you're saying. Right. But still, the tradition has not been that way, and therefore we don't want to change from that tradition. But the Mishnah Berurah says, there's not only a Mesorah, not only because of tradition do we hold back from having such minyanim, but there's halachic concern here. The Mishnah Berurah says, you're not allowed to read to the women in English. Why not? Because, look at the Mishnah Berurah, this is number 9, Sif Katan Lamed Zayin. The Mishnah Berurah writes, Sifkat Lamed Zayin, Yesh Limchos Biyad V'chulei, Tam Hadavar. The reason why you don't read to women in other languages, in English, Mishum Da Gevarim, the men, Hakorim Mivinim Lashon Kodesh. Right now he's making an assumption that the men understand Hebrew. So now what's the problem? I understand Hebrew and English, and I read it in English so the women could understand it. I say, and it was in the days of Achashverosh, I don't know if you do the trup. That'd be interesting to try to put the trup to the English word. But so whatever, you read it, and it was in the days of Achashverosh. So what's the problem with that? So he says, V'yesh lochosh l'dasa poskim. You have to be concerned of the sheet of the poskim. The sovrim heichasho mevin lashon kodesh. When you understand lashon kodesh, eino yoti b'kriya balaz. Now we're going, whose sheet is this? If you understand Hebrew, you are not allowed to read it in another language. Whose sheet is that? The Ramban. Ramban says you're only allowed to read it in English if you don't understand Hebrew. But if you do understand Hebrew, you're not allowed to read it in English. So if I read it in English, I'm not Yotze. So now the problem is, if I'm not Yotze when I read it in English, Mimela Eina Yachal Lahotzi B'Kriyazu Aflamisha Eina Maven, I can't be Motzi someone else. Right? If I'm reading in a way where I'm not getting the mitzvah, then you can't get the mitzvah either. Doesn't make sense.
What about if the people don't understand it and you have to read it in English?
Still, if I'm the one who's representing everyone here and I'm not getting a mitzvah, then it doesn't work for you. You're going through, I'm the conduit for you to be owed to the mitzvah. If I'm not fulfilling a mitzvah myself, it doesn't get past me, then it can't get to you either.
You just have someone who doesn't understand Hebrew.
Ah, exactly. So his assumption was that most men who are going to be laning understand Hebrew. If you could find the guy who only understands English, that would be the Eitzah. But I guess since it was such a hard thing to find the guy who didn't understand Hebrew, so then it would be hard to come by. It's similar to the same thing. A woman cannot be... that's a different point. That's too confusing. Sorry. But anyway, the klal is, since when I read it and I understand Hebrew, when I read it in English, I'm not going to get the mitzvah according to the Ramban, so then memela, I can't be motzi other women either. And there, for that reason, it's a halachic issue as to why you can't read for the women. But Moshe's right. If you do find a man, or even a woman for that matter, well, that's another story whether a woman can read Megillah, but if you find a man that only knows English, so then in Echanami, this would get around that problem of the Mishavur and would be able to be motzi to others. Now, in the end of the day, we know, I've never heard of such a case where they read Megillah in any other language. I've never heard it in English or French or Spanish. It doesn't exist. So now that gets to the problem. Many of us here don't understand a lot of the Pesukim in Megillah's Esther. Many people listening to it don't understand. So now, we said before that the part of the mitzvah, if not the most important part of the mitzvah, is understanding the story. So if we're reading and listening to the Megillah, I don't understand Hebrew, how in the world am I yod to the mitzvah of Megillah's Esther? I don't understand what's going on. I could follow the words, but I don't understand what every single word means. So that's where the rush comes in. Number 10, the rush writes in the back in Maseches Megillah, Perek Beis, Haloez sheshama ashuris yatza apapi delayada. A foreigner who hears it in Hebrew, even though he doesn't get the language, he's still yotze. So you could just sit there. As long as you follow along every single word, you're yotze, even though you don't get a thing. Now, look at the last line, what he says. That's a very strange line. Deha ika mitzis kriya upir sumenisa. Because when you listen to the Megillah read in Hebrew, you're getting both mitzvahs. You're getting the element of kriya. I heard the kriya and I followed. I'm also getting the mitzvah upir sumenisa. How in the world is it a sumenisa if I don't understand what's being read here?
It's got to be the words just holy in themselves. Right?
So that's like the, right, so that's the idea of the kriya. But upir sumenisa is defined by I'm absorbing, I'm understanding something, but I'm not understanding anything because I don't understand the words I'm listening to. So I get the kriya. You're right. The words themselves have kedusha and there's power that's created by it. But pirsuma nisa, how am I getting pirsuma nisa by just simply listening to the Hebrew words? And this is a big kasha for all of us who don't understand every single word.
The fact that you're there. In other words, why are you there on this day listening to this speech, you know what I'm saying? The fact that you don't understand the speech. Let's say the Rav is speaking in Yiddish, and you don't understand what the Rav is saying. But the fact that you're there, that gives cover. You know what I'm saying? So that's also pursuing.
It's cover. There's no understanding there.
Right. I'm saying it's also pursuing. You're advertising the miracle. The fact that you're there. That's why. Why is there 1,000 people in this place?
Because you know something happened, right?
Right. So knowing something happened, I think this is the idea what the Rambam says. The Rambam number 11 says that in the Perash Mishnayos, he says, Haloez sheshama ashuris yatza, a foreigner who hears in Hebrew is yotze, afal pi sheine yodea perish kol mila mila, even though he doesn't get every single word, harehu maven klal ha'inin. He gets the overall storyline. We get the basic point.
We
get the basic. Exactly.
We
know everyone knows the story. Megillah, you hear it in first grade, second grade, third grade, you hear it throughout elementary school. We get the basic storyline. So even though you don't get every single word, you get the basic idea, and that's sufficient to be yotze the mitzvah.
The person doesn't
understand it at all. So very good. It sounds like from the Rambam, if a guy doesn't understand any word, that might be more problematic. But since you get the overall, even though you don't understand the word as they're being read to you, even the guy who just walked into shul, he probably knows the story. Even though he's not translating from the words to his mind, he gets what's going on. So from the Rambam, unclear whether or not you'd be yotze in that case.
Why even bother listening to the Megillah?
Because the Indian of a kriya, Number one is a kriya, and number two is we're supposed to remember during that time. At the tzibur, remember the story, the nes in the tzibur at that given time on the night of Purim and the morning of Purim.
But isn't there, I don't know if it's a din or not, isn't it a requirement to be able to hear every word?
Sure, and that's the kriya.
And if you miss it, you're not yotzei?
So that's the mitzvah of kriya. That's
so
just
so that part of the mitzvah, if you don't understand it, then you won't get that, but the other...
So you get the kriya by hearing every word, and you get the pirsa menisa by understanding the overall storyline, even though you don't get every single nuance.
It's not the Jew that doesn't understand any Hebrew.
Right. So that was what Binyamin was asking. So that guy, according to the Rambam, if he gets the basic storyline, so even though he doesn't get any word, he doesn't understand any Hebrew.
Well, he can't even read Hebrew.
He can't even read Hebrew. So
he gets presumed, but he doesn't get the kriya.
If he can't follow along, and Echanami does the best he can, he'll... You know, a guy, it's a onus in that case. The onus, achman, a patre, and he does the best he can. Fine. Yeah.
Oh, so, I know for my own community, like, the Mizrahi Town Chabad, so, like, people completely unaffiliated, not, you know, that have no, my parents, when they went to Chabad, they would have no, you know, they wouldn't even understand the story.
Right.
They don't know the story. And two, they wouldn't understand Hebrew.
Right.
So, you know, it's like, in those cases, like, why wouldn't we be, I know we have a Masorah, but like where it's so clear that the people there and the environment is like, you know, how can you have someone blame Megillah to those people whether they don't know what the story is and they can't follow in Hebrew?
So again, you have to do the best you can. And, you know, it's always a struggle. You're trying to bring people closer and make them feel comfortable. There's always that struggle of maintaining the tradition at the same time being open and welcoming to them. So, you know, in a case like that, the suggestion would be is have the Chabad rabbi tell them the storyline before and the basic idea, 10 minutes of what happened, the story. Now we're going to read the words, follow the best you can along, and you have accomplished, and slowly they're building blocks over years. The person who has no background, it's what we would call onus rachmana patra. He's onus, and the Torah exempts him from doing whatever he can't do. You do the best you can.
Again, because there is a certain presumption, because why are they coming to the shul at that particular time?
But they don't understand the story. If they know it's a Purim, but they don't know what Purim means. They don't know that there's a story of Mordechai and Esther and Achashverosh. Would that be a kima pirsum minisa if they don't understand the story of the Nes? It sounds like it wouldn't be. Just showing up without understanding, I don't know if that would accomplish anything. But look at Rashi and Daf Yud Ches. I'm not sure if anyone saw this inside. He has a different suggestion as to why it's pirsum minisa than that of the Rambam. If you look at Daf Yud Ches, I'm an Aleph. It's a pretty big page, but the Rashi, it's around 10 lines up. It says, Pirsume Nisa. He says, Afa Pishein Yodim Masha Shomim. Even though, this is our case, even though the guy, he showed up to Shul, didn't understand the word. Shoalin Es HaShomim V'Omer Mahi HaKriya Hazu V'Chayaha Nes Modin Lehem. He's going to ask afterwards, what in the world are we reading about? Could someone explain to me? I don't understand Hebrew. I can't even follow the words here. What are we doing here? So we're hoping they're going to ask some questions afterwards. The Chabad rabbi, the friends are going to tell them a bit about the storyline. And that storyline, that's going to be a fulfillment of the story of the Pirsum Minisa. While according to the Rambam, it seemed that he understood the storyline as it was being read. And I get some words, I don't get every single word, but I'm getting the basic gist. For Rashi, it's even after the reading had been done, even after the Kriya, the whole idea of the Kriya was simply to generate a conversation. Remember, we saw earlier, for the Rashi held that even if I get Lashon Kodesh, even though I understand Lashon Kodesh, I'm lichatchila allowed to read in English. Rashi doesn't care about the Kriya. Rashi's whole goal here is to get the idea. So if that means reading in English, read in English. If that means having a guy showing up to shul, so he'll ask questions about the story, that means read it just to get a conversation going. For Rashi, the whole idea of Megillat Esther and Pirsum Minisa is simply to get their storyline. The Megillat Esther is simply a springboard to have a conversation, but nothing more than that. There is no Indian of Kriya, according to Rashi. That's what it seems here. While according to the others, there is an idea of Kriya in addition to an understanding. Lemaisa, what we paskin is that it should be read in Hebrew, even to those who don't understand it, and hopefully that will conjure up some conversation to understand the storyline. There is interesting, we'll finish off with this piece of Rabbi Kivi Eger. Rabbi Eger has a discussion on this daf here about davening in English. Now this is very, very relevant. I know people growing up who don't know how to read Hebrew, and they would daven and bench in English. And I've been asked this shaila as well by a Baal Tshuva, that they, you know, they know Hebrew to a certain extent, but when it comes to Yamim Noraim, so then they are not so comfortable with the Hebrew, and it takes a long time for them to go through the Siddur. Could they read in English in Yamim Noraim? Is that allowed? So according to the strict halacha, the Mishnah in Sota says you could say tefillah b'chaloshim. Tefillah is a avodah shebelev. It's an emotional conversation. So whatever is meaningful to me, which we want them to understand, so English and any other language, as long as they understand it, should be sufficient. But at the same time, based on this Rabbi Akiva Eiger and others, it's, I don't want to say frowned upon, but it's discouraged to read it in English, even though it's hard. And the suggestion I had given this person was, read it in Hebrew, but look to the side. Even though it takes a long time, read Hebrew, but also look at the English so you understand what you're saying. But to say it strictly in English, as we'll see in a second, is not really the best approach. If you're able to read it in Hebrew, then you should definitely read it in Hebrew. And again, fill in the understanding with the English side. If a person doesn't know Hebrew, then there's no choice. Certainly read it in English. But if your guy can read the Hebrew, even though he doesn't get it, he should definitely read it in Hebrew. And that's for the following reasons. The Rebbe Akiva Eiger writes, we just saw before that it comes to Mikra Megillah. And Mikra Megillah, the whole idea is understanding Pesumer Nisa. And even though it's all about the idea, understanding it, we still paskin that a person should read it in Hebrew. You read the Megillah, the whole goal of Megillah is to understand what's going on. But we paskin read it in Hebrew in anyways, even though you don't understand what you're reading. So says Rabbi Akiva Eiger, so too when it comes to davening the tzibur, a person should read it in Hebrew even though he doesn't understand the language. Because tefillah is not as stressing and not stressed on the understanding as Megillah is. In Megillah, which the stress is on the understanding, yet we say read in Hebrew, so then certainly tefillah, which the stress is not as much on the understanding, should certainly be read in Hebrew as well. Then he goes on to explain furthermore that even women in Bali Tshuva who don't understand, they're not able to read it, they can't understand Hebrew rather, he says the problem with English translations or any other language, it's not so precise. How many drushes have we heard? You look in the, you know, just feel like the drushes, you look in the article, how the article defined the Hebrew psukim. Because even the article, which did a wonderful job, not every translation is going to be so exact. And there's so much that's lost in the translation to English or any other language. So because of that, since there's not so exact, they're going to skip certain words. One shouldn't rely on an English translation if they are able to read Hebrew. And tefillah is not only about understanding. There's so much involved in the way the Arizal put together certain tefillahs. And there's so much meaningful things that are being said. And if you skip a certain word, which could have had tremendous impact in the world above, in the Elyonim, there's going to be a lot lost there. So you're playing with fire here. You can... For sure.
That even if you don't understand it, you know, it has a certain
power. For sure. And once you take it to another language, you're going to lose certain of that power that the Anshe Knesset Gedolah had infused in the tefillah. And then he says, so sometimes the translation is wrong. Sometimes we don't even know the translation of words. Like the Totafos, he says, we don't know what that word means, how to translate that word. And for that reason, he says, one should always daven and say everything in Hebrew, even if he doesn't get it. And again, the recommendation is that read it in Hebrew and then look to the side for the English translation to appreciate a little bit of what's going on. Okay, we'll stop here. And the Mitzvah Hashem will pick up next week. I don't know what Sugi we're doing next week yet.